It's Wednesday afternoon, November 6th. Good afternoon. It's 45 cloudy degrees in Richland Center at 1210. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Donald Trump was elected as the 47th president of the United States today. He won the key state of Wisconsin this morning, defeating Vice President Kamala Harris in a critical battleground. The win delivers 10 electoral college votes to Trump. He narrowly won Wisconsin in 2016, becoming the first Republican since Ronald Reagan to capture the state. He lost it in 2020 to Democrat Joe Biden. Both Harris and Trump made Wisconsin a central focus of their campaigns. In 2020, Trump attempted to overturn his loss in the state through lawsuits and recounts, but failed. The Associated Press declared Trump the winner at 4:34 this morning. Trump is the first person convicted of a felony to win the White House and the first former president to regain power since 1892. The victory marks an extraordinary comeback for a former president who refused to accept defeat 4 years ago, faced dozens of felony charges, and survived two assassination attempts. He will be joined in the new administration by his vice president, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. At 40, Vance will become the highest-ranking member of the millennial generation in government. Unofficial results show about 73% of Wisconsin's voting-age population cast ballots in the 2024 presidential race, with the raw number of voters topping out at the highest in state history. Nearly 3.4 million people in Wisconsin cast ballots in the presidential race, won by President-elect Donald Trump Wednesday. The number is likely to increase slightly as the few remaining outstanding ballots are tabulated. Just over 3.3 million voted for president in the 2020 election. The turnout percentage in Wisconsin is just below that seen in 2020. Wisconsin has a voting age population of just under 4.7 million people. With Election Day in the rearview mirror, residents of Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District have voted to retain Congressman Derek Van Orden. Civic Media's James Kelly reports.
The race for the 3rd Congressional District was by far the closest race of any Wisconsin district, with Van Orden earning about 51.5% of the vote over Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook's 48.5%. In total, over 400,000 votes were cast in the election, with Van Orden winning every county in the district except Eau Claire, La Crosse, and Portage. Van Orden's win was nearly identical to his win in 2022, with about 80,000 more voters casting ballots. His campaign mainly focused on inflation and immigration, issues that were widely considered as two of the top concerns for voters across the country. Rebecca Cook's campaign emphasized similar economic issues, as well as expanding access to health care and targeting corporate price gouging. Cook also placed a heavy emphasis on connecting with voters in their home communities and energizing college students to get themselves and their friends to the polls. Because the margin of victory was so tight, the race was not called until late Wednesday morning. It was the last congressional race in the state to be called, with no other races finishing with a single-digit difference. In the 2022 election, Van Orden flipped the district to Republican control for the first time since the 1996 election. Former Congressman Ron Kind had held the seat for the Democratic Party from 1997 until he retired in 2023. In the early hours of Wednesday morning, Van Orden declared victory on X, formerly known as Twitter.
Taking a look at the results of Wisconsin's House races from Election Day, in the 2nd Congressional District, incumbent Democrat Mark Pocan held his seat over Republican challenger Eric Olson. In the 5th, Republican incumbent Scott Fitzgerald held off Democratic opponent Ben Steinhoff. Another Republican incumbent held his seat in the 6th Congressional District as Glenn Grothman topped Democratic challenger John Zarbano. In the open 8th race, Republican Tony Weed defeated Democrat Kristen Lyerly. Democrat Gwen Moore, the incumbent, won her race in the 4th Congressional District against Republican Tim Rogers. In the 1st Congressional race, Republican incumbent Brian Steil topped Democratic opponent Peter Barca. Incumbent Republican Tony Kurtz has been called the winner of the race for the 41st Assembly District in Wisconsin. Kurtz was first elected to the Assembly in 2018, is an organic grain farmer and U.S. Army veteran of two foreign wars. He serves on the Joint Finance Committee. Kurtz was drawn out of the 50th District he currently represents. Kurtz defeated Democratic challenger Julia Henley, who ran on a platform of health care and education access, reproductive health freedom, and conservancy. Upon being reelected, Tony Kurtz released this message. I'm honored to earn the support of the wonderful people of the 41st Assembly District to be their voice in Madison. I'm proud of what I've accomplished during the 6 years I've been in office, and I look forward to continuing to be an advocate for rural Wisconsin, fighting to reduce taxes, ensuring that public safety, rural health care providers, and our family farms are getting the support they need, and finally making sure we're properly funding transportation infrastructure, hospitals, and schools. Incumbent Republican Todd Novak had been called the winner of the race for the 51st Assembly District. Novak was first elected to the Assembly in 2014, is a member of four committees, including the chair of the Committee on Local Government. He is a former newspaper editor and served as the mayor of Dodgeville for over a decade. Novak defeated Democratic challenger Elizabeth Grabe, a real estate agent and farm manager, by 1,160 votes. The 51st Assembly District covers all of Iowa and Lafayette counties, as well as parts of Grant and Dane counties. Incumbent Republican Travis Tranel has been called the winner of the race for the 49th Assembly District. Tranel was first elected to the Assembly in 2010 and serves on three committees, including as the chair of the Committee on Agriculture. He is a small business owner and dairy farmer from Cuba City. Tranel defeated Democratic challenger Scott Walker, not the former governor, a doctor who runs a medical clinic. The 49th Assembly District covers all of Crawford County and most of Grant County. Travis Tranel released this statement.
It's always an honor to get reelected, and I continue to appreciate the trust that the people of Southwest Wisconsin place in us. I am a big believer that we win not because of a strong campaign, but because of the work that we do day in and day out. And I'm excited to get back to work so that we can continue to make Southwest Wisconsin a great place to live, work, and raise a family.
And following the final results in Assembly District 40, Karen DeSanto will be the next representative to the State Assembly. In other races, for Richland County Register of Deeds, Deb McCoy defeated Michelle Brown, 5,041 to 3,876. Voters in the Ithaca School District supported their community school in an operational referendum in yesterday's election. The district asked voters to approve an operational referendum in the amount of $1.3 million each year for 4 years. The referendum passed with 655 yes votes to 304 no votes. In another school referendum, the Wisconsin Dells District passed its referendum 3,579 to 2,786. The Reedsburg School District had two referendum questions. An operational referendum failed on a vote of 5,116 to 4,488, while an upgrades referendum passed on a close vote of 4,842 voting in favor and 4,721 voting against. Both referendums for the Madison Metropolitan School District passed. The operational referendum will give the district $100 million to keep the lights on and pay staff. Meanwhile, the $507 million referendum will go toward capital improvements across the district, new schools, renovations, and necessary upgrades. In municipality referendums, voters in the city of Madison approved paying $22 million to keep the city afloat. Mayor Sacha Rhodes Conway had asked each department to create a plan to cut 5% of their budget, but now that's been avoided. Two referendums in Baraboo were defeated on Tuesday. Residents in the Baraboo School District said no to a capital facilities referendum. The $85.7 million referendum failed 6,541 to 4,979. The plan had an estimated tax impact of $55 per $100,000 of property value. The project would have repaired and replaced aging mechanical systems, electrical equipment, and other major building systems, made room for the district's new full-day, four-year-old kindergarten programming, added classroom and common space at L. Berman East and Gordon L. Wilson Elementary Schools, plus renovate existing spaces and enhance safety and security by improving traffic flow. The city of Baraboo also had a referendum question on yesterday's ballot. The referendum, which was seeking $2 million increase in tax levy to maintain its current level of service, failed 4,628 to 1,958. City of Baraboo Mayor Rob Nelson issued the following statement today. Yesterday, Baraboo residents voted to reject an operational referendum that would have enabled the city to maintain its current level of service in the face of rising operational cost and fund additional staff to meet the needs of our growing community. As a result, the City Council will need to make difficult decisions about how to address continually rising costs to provide services with the needs of our growing population. This may include reducing services and community programs Baraboo residents have come to rely on and appreciate, many of which make our community a vibrant and special place to live. The City Council will continue to review the city's programs and services going forward to determine what's financially feasible for our community. He goes on to say, we encourage residents to attend the city's Common Council meeting on November 12th for a public hearing and discussion on the 2025 budget. Tuesday's election was the first under Wisconsin's new political maps drawn by Governor Tony Evers. Lisa Hale reports.
Many Democrats were hopeful that the new maps would mean more Democrats in the Wisconsin legislative body. That did not happen. As of early Wednesday morning, Republicans were winners in at least 53 of the 99 assembly districts in the state. The change was felt, however, in the Senate, where Democrats flipped or kept Senate districts 8, 14, 18, 30, and 32, including Jamie Wall's defeat over Alloway Village President Jim Rafter in Senate District 30 and Kristen Alfheim's victory over Anthony Phillips in Senate District 18. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin voters have approved a constitutional amendment that prohibits foreign nationals from voting. The amendment passed Tuesday revises part of Wisconsin's constitution that allows every U.S. citizen who is at least 18 to vote. It will say instead that only U.S. citizens can cast ballots in federal, state, and local elections in the state. Republicans across the country have been pushing voters to adopt constitutional amendments that explicitly prohibit non-U.S. citizens from voting. The move was spurred by the District of Columbia and municipalities in California, Maryland, and Vermont, allowing non-citizens to vote in local elections. Wisconsin was among several battleground states targeted by bomb threats on Election Day. That's according to the FBI. Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The threats, which appeared to originate from Russian email accounts, also impacted Pennsylvania and other states. Despite the threats, the Wisconsin Elections Commission declared them not to be credible, and all polling places in the state did remain open.
When using computers and mobile devices, it is great to have some type of support when something is wrong. Scammers are aware of this and try different methods to obtain personal information by pretending to be tech support. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Trying to identify that it really is a scam because they want you to believe you have a serious problem with your computer, like a virus, they're going to send you either a phone call, a pop-up warning, or online ads and listings. And with the phone call, the scammer calls and pretends to be a computer technician from a well-known company, and they say they found a problem with your computer. They typically can fix it if you give them remote access, and they pretend to run diagnostic tests. But the pop-up warnings here, the tech support scammers try to trick you with this pop-up window that appears on your computer. Sometimes there's an alarm or a whistle with it. It looks like an error message from your operating system or antivirus software system. And they might use logos from trusted companies, so it's kind of hard to spot. But the message in the window warns you about a security issue on your computer and tells you to call the phone number that is in their pop-up.
While phone calls and pop-ups are commonly used methods to get personal information, tech support scammers will also make other attempts to obtain your info.
Some even ask you to make a video call to them. And again, they're going to want remote access and payment so they can, quote, fix the problem. And then online ads and listings. Here they pose as tech support scammers trying to get their website to show up in the online search results for tech support, and they might run their own ads online. The scammers are hoping that you'll call them instead of a legitimate company. So this just goes to the importance of really verifying who you're working with when you really do have a tech problem. And that's where it becomes so important to talk to friends and family members and work with those you know and trust when it comes to tech support issues with your computer.
If an account or computer device has been compromised, there are legitimate phone calls that are made to warn about the issues. Michelle Reinen recommends being cautious to make sure it is an actual support person.
If there has been a data compromise and there are ways that the tech support can know or that you can be contacted, but you need protocols in place to verify that that is legitimate and you don't just start handing over information and data. So it's so important that you follow procedures within a small business or company and verify, and you as a consumer make that phone call to verify using your known source information instead of just trusting who's on the other end of the line. I mean, I hate to have to say that, but these scammers compile so much data and are so good at impersonating others that we need to be sure that we are verifying before we hand over information.
If you are a victim of or suspect a tech support scam, you can contact ADCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at DATCPhotline@wi.gov. The American Red Cross is highlighting the ongoing need for blood and platelet donors as festive schedules ramp up this fall. Eligible individuals, especially those with type O blood and those giving platelets, are encouraged to make a donation just ahead of the holiday season. Blood supply momentum must remain steady as the Red Cross has worked this month to recover blood products uncollected due to recent hurricanes. Any disruption in the ability to collect blood can lead to an impact on routine and life-saving medical care. A blood drive is being held today until 4 o'clock at Wyoming Valley School in Spring Green. The seasons may change, but the need for blood donors stays the same. Give blood or platelets and make a big difference in someone's life by visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. The Ithaca FFA is hosting a community blood drive today until 2:15 at the Ithaca Community Gym. Call 866-MIBLOOD or Melissa Sprecher at 608-585-2311, extension 310, or go to versati.org to make an appointment. Wisconsin's 9-day gun deer season is right around the corner, and there's a few things to know if you're heading out this year. Department of Natural Resources Deer Program Specialist Jeff Pritzel says a mild winter last year bodes well for deer activity this year. Pritzel says the season is the latest it could be under state law, so deer movement during daylight hours is reducing as we get further away from early November. The 9-day gun deer season runs from Saturday, November 23rd to Sunday, December 1st. Today's winner in the Ithaca Football Boosters calendar raffle is Becca Keller.